Morning, everyone. So good to see you guys. You know today is Palm Sunday. For those of you who don't know, thank you, musicians. Thank you, worship team. Great worship. And Brooke, that was an excellent, excellent communion message. Because that sums up, it almost sums up what this is all about. Because when we are gathered together, we are not a museum of saints. We are a hospital for sinners. Right? When you enter this place, this is not a display of how good people are or how much we have achieved in life or how perfect we are, but actually this is a place when if you're broken, you're healed in Jesus' name. Where you're sick, you're healed in Jesus' name. All right, so this is a hospital for sinners. When we are gathered together, it is all about Jesus. And so since it's Palm Sunday, we're going to do something a little bit lame. Why don't we take a minute, high five three or four people saying Happy Palm Sunday. I hope nobody's saying talk to the hand, all right? So a big shout out to anyone that is watching on the live stream. I miss you. Hope that you can be here face-to-face one day. A big shout-out of appreciation to Jimmy and the guys in the sound desk, because Jimmy is trying to do the live stream. He's trying to fix all the bugs on the live stream. So for those of you who are watching on live stream, you have ongoing support, like 24 hours IT support right now for the next 2 hours. You won't be put through the machine and try to go through different prompts on what's going to happen if you have trouble with your live stream. Right, so Palm Sunday. So we all know that this is the day where all around the world, people are remembering Jesus Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Because Palm Sunday means, if you read the Gospels, that's the day when people are throwing palm fronds and their clothing on the road when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Now, we know that today is not exactly, in the time of history, is exactly the day Jesus went into Jerusalem. Just the same way, we know that 25th of December is not the day Jesus was born, and that Easter Sunday is not exactly the day that Jesus died, but it's just a day for us to remember. But all around the world, a lot of people, a lot of Christians consider from today to Sunday as the Holy Week. And so when I ponder upon this subject, I believe that it's time for me to touch on the subject of holiness. What does it mean to be holy? So the title of my message today is Holy No Moly, right? I'm not going to talk about the mole. No, we're going to talk about holy, all right? So when you think of the word holy or holiness, what is the first thing that comes to our mind? I can tell you honestly, the first thing I think about is holy. I think about somebody sitting on top of a mountaintop in an ultra zen mode, totally detached from the world, and seemed a bit wise. You can come up to the wise holy man in the mountain and ask for advice. And that's what a lot of people in the world. A lot of people in the world think when you think of holiness, like, oh, this person is like way up there, I'm way down here, and you're not real in a sense, right? But do you know that biblical holiness is so different to what we think holiness is? And today we're going to explore a few simple truths about holiness. First thing, let's define holiness, right? Holiness comes from the word holy, and if you look in the Hebrew, if you look at the Hebrew language, it is not very different to the English language when we define holiness, because holy pretty much means just separate, set apart, or sacred. So holiness means to be set apart, to be separate from something else. Now, if you think that, oh, in my life, nothing is holy, everything is a fair go, you think again. Because do you remember the things do you know that there are a few things you and I would deem a little bit untouchable, right? Things that are really, really important to us. I give you an example. If How many footy fans we have here? Who's a diehard Port Power fan? No one. I know we got a Richmond fan. I'll give an example. So I'm pretty sure Josh has all the paraphernalia of Richmond Footy Club. If he has a jersey that was signed by one of his favorite players and he hangs up on his wall and he says nobody dares to touch it, and then one day an Adelaide Crow supporter comes in, takes down that treasured jersey and puts an Adelaide Crows jersey on top. What do you think is going to happen? He's going to be furious. He's going to, how dare you desecrate my little shrine? Right. In the same way, let's say Benjamin. Benjamin's got a guitar that is signed by a world-famous guitarist, and he hangs up there. And suddenly L comes in, and he replaces it with the cheapo. What do you think that's going to happen? He's going to be angry. So, if you think about it, those objects or those things are considered quite holy. Is it? Because that thing was set apart, put in there, and it says, you can't touch this. Right? So what is it in our lives that is precious? What is it in our lives that is an untouchable? I know most of us who have kids, our kids are untouchables, isn't it? In a sense that, I mean, we can touch them, but it means that we always love, we always value, we always treasure, and we expect that they get the respect that they need. Right? So whatever is holy to any one of us always will command the honor, the respect, and the devotion. Right? So the important question we have to ask ourselves is, where is God in all of this? There are a lot of things that is holy. And I can tell you that holiness to you and me is very subjective in many ways, right? Because I don't really care about football jerseys, right? I don't care about footy jerseys. I don't have a prize guitar. I don't have a prize drum set that nobody can touch. But there are other things in my life that I deem is holy. Like some of us think that our possessions are very, very holy. Our careers or our achievements or anything or anyone. So what is holy to you may not be holy to me. But then there must be something that is way above, objectively way above, that is truly holy in this life. And I can tell you that only God is truly holy. And today, I want to tell you that God is the only thing that is truly, truly, objectively set apart above all else. Now, if you are a truly holy God, and there is no one else more holy than you, the only truth you can tell everybody is, I'm holy. You know, it's if I come and tell you, I'll tell, oh, Pastor Rob, I am holy. You say, no way, man. You told a lie just now. You did this, you did that, you did this, and it's correct, right? Only somebody that is truly holy can actually claim that he is holy. Are you taking control, Shalini? You are, right? Okay. All right. So, in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26, when God gave the laws to the nation of Israel, he told them, you must be holy because I, the Lord, am holy. God himself declare that he is holy. Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2 says, no one is holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. We know the passage in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, when Isaiah saw the Lord. He saw the magnificent creatures. They were calling out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. Do you know in Scripture that is one of the only times that the word holy was mentioned three times? It's mentioned, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And you see that reflected in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Each of these living things had six wings, and they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That sums it all up, that God is set apart way above everything. He is almighty in power. He is omnipresent. That means he's here all everywhere. He is omnipotent, which means he is all powerful. And he is love, he is goodness, he is perfection, he is everything. He is holy. He is your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 5. And we see that declared in John chapter 6, verse 68 to 69, when Simon Peter said, Lord, he's speaking to Jesus, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God. There is no one else more holy, no one else that deserves our devotion, no one else that deserves our honor, no one else that deserves our respect more than God himself. So if we believe that God is holy, then everything he does is holy. So if I am perfect, which I'm not, if I am perfect, then everything I do, all my works will be perfect, isn't it? So if you are the perfect creator, then everything you touch, everything you make is perfect. But do we see God's work, or do we see God as the Holy One? Do we consider what God's actions, do we consider God's actions, his heart, his words as holy? The problem is, we can say that, yeah, if God is holy, if God is perfect, then he's not doing a very good work at the moment, because all around us is pretty messed up, isn't it? You talk about the brokenness in the world. You talk about, we live in the times where we always hear about wars. There's so much conflict. Everyone is unhappy. And there's so much brokenness all around us. And you can't help but think that, Lord God, if you are the creator, if you are the perfect God, you are God of love, God that's good, there shouldn't be this problem, because I don't think you're doing a good job, God, right? But is that the case? Is it because God is not doing a good job, or there was something else in play? And I can tell you there's something else in play, and this is the mole, all right? We're talking about holy, this is the moly, all right? This is sin. Right? What is sin? Sin pretty much is our rebellion against God. Right? For what? For a holy God, he will not be able to tolerate sin, isn't it? So if God is pure, sin corrupts. If God is the God of perfection, then sin brings disease and imperfection. If God is a God of wholeness, sin brings brokenness. If God is a God of righteousness, then there is no other choice. But when sin comes in, God has to bring a judgment. So it's not because God is not doing a good job, but because we live in a world that is full of sin. And we are living in a world that is tainted by sin. Sin is a little bit like the cancer that grows in all we do. So if God is holy, then sin is the enemy of holiness. And God has two choices. One is either he just rejects us and says, nah, you can go sort yourselves out. I don't want to have anything to do with you guys. You guys can die in your corruption. But I praise God that God didn't do that, because our perfect God decides to come and sends his son to live and die for us on a rescue mission. Because what this is all about in Easter is God coming to rescue us. He rescued us from sin. God's holiness does not equate to his detachment from us. But God himself came and lived among us. He shared with our humanity. He knows exactly the struggles we go through in life as human beings, and he took upon the sin that tainted us, that tainted humanity, and he nailed that on the cross. Because on the cross, you see two things. You see the judgment of a perfect God against sin, and you also see the forgiveness that comes from the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So God saved us despite of our sin. And this is what we remember in this time of Easter, that God saved us. And in Jesus Christ, we are made holy again. So God is truly holy and we are not. But when we receive Jesus Christ, we are made right again. We are made holy again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2, Paul writes, I am writing to God's church in Corinth, to you who have been called by God to be his own holy people. He made you holy by means of Christ Jesus, just as he did for all people everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. And he goes on in 1 Corinthians 1:30, being united with Christ Jesus, for our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. He made us right with God. He made us pure and holy. So when we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are made holy again. We are being made set apart again. We are redeemed from our sins. So it's a little bit like if I'm full of sin and I'm covered in mud, I'm covered in muck, and then I put on a new piece of clothing. That is how it is when we ask Jesus Christ into our hearts. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and what God sees is no longer our sin, but he actually sees the finished work of Jesus Christ, which is his blood. Because we are reconciled to God through the death of Christ in his physical body in Colossians 1:22. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. So we are holy because in Christ we are made holy. Not because of what I have achieved or what you have achieved or what we can do, but because of what God has done. And this is the message and this is the truth we celebrate every single day, not just in Easter. We celebrate it every day. We celebrate that truth together as Christians. Then the next question is, so what's all this talk about, you know, following rules and trying to live a holy life, a life that is set apart? When we are born again in Jesus Christ, we are a new creation, we are new, but we are still carrying the stains of sin. We are still carrying the stains of our brokenness, because this is the big lie or the big myth a lot of people believe, that once you receive Christ, everything is hunky-dory, life is a bed of roses, there'll be no more struggles, and all our addictions, all the things that we struggle with, is gone. Yay! But you know the truth is that none of that disappears. But what we know is that when we start our walk with Christ, it is a journey to perfecting holiness, right? Because we are holy in Christ, but there is still a lot of work that God has to do in us to make us more set apart for him. The Word of God says that we need to be more like Christ. So it will take a lifetime for us to be more Christ-like. But we are still holy because of what Jesus has done. I hope I have not confused you guys. Perfecting holiness is a journey that needs two things. So you and I, for us to live a life set apart for God, we will need the first thing, which is the Holy Spirit. Since you heard about Jesus and learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 21 to 24 is encouraging the church to let the Holy Spirit renew our thoughts and our attitudes and to put on a new nature. It is the journey to perfecting holiness. And the other factor that we need to perfect holiness is the Word of God. John chapter 17 verse 17 says, this is Jesus' prayer, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. So we need the truth of the Word of God, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit for God to bring us into perfect holiness. And we know we'll never reach that until we cross when we cross into eternity. So this will always be the journey for all of us. But it all starts at the cross. It all starts when we decide to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him. And in God's eyes, we are holy and we are set apart once again. So God has called you and I to live holy lives. And then the next argument would be, and this is my final point, is so you mean as Christians we still have to obey rules? We have to obey, we have to do this and do this and do that. That sounds like religion to me. Yes, it is religion when there is no relationship. All right? This is the big difference when we walk with God in this journey towards perfect holiness. If it is all about rules, it is religion. If there is a relationship, it is different. The best example that God has given us through His Word, when He looks at us as His church, He calls His church His bride. And so, for those of you who are married, you know that when you're married, there are still rules in your relationship, right? Who has a marriage that has no rules? There are rules in relationships. Like, I'm married to Sharon, and Sharon has rules, right? The toilet seat has to be down, right? You cannot be late, right? You cannot do this, you cannot do that. But that is because we have a relationship that we learn to respect each other. We learn to respect the things that are displeasing. I learned a few things, or many things, that Sharon doesn't like. And vice versa. And so these are the rules. These are the boundaries in relationship, isn't it? So in the same way with our relationship with God, God has boundaries. And so when God tells us that this is not good for you, don't do it, He's not doing it from the perspective of, I am the boss, I tell you what to do. He comes from a point of a loving husband telling that this is not good for you. This is not good for our relationship. He comes from a point of a loving father to a child and said, no, this, you cross this, you'll get burnt. So the Word of God is full of God's truth. When it's coupled with the relationship with God, you know that's how you grow as Christians. So you have to stop looking at our journey to holiness as a, I need to follow this set of rules. I need to follow this protocol. There is no protocol, but we know every relationship has boundaries. Every relationship has rules. And so how do we know, how does an eternal God that is so powerful and exists way beyond time itself communicate with us about what is good for us or gives us a revelation of who He is? It's the Word of God. So we have to read our Bible. We have to pray if we really want to grow in our relationship with God. It's as simple as that. I hope that you can see that relationship and rules go hand in hand. I'll invite the musicians up. So in this week of Easter, in this Easter week, my challenge to you and I is to start to think of holiness as not a set of rules, but as a desire for us to walk closer with God and know God better so that we can grow in our relationship with Him. And we know that we can learn more about God through His Word and through His Spirit. The Spirit and the Word goes hand in hand. So when I married Sharon, I walked, our lives merged together as one from the day of our wedding onwards. But there is still a life before her that I do not know, right? Have you been to weddings? Most weddings, people show a slideshow about their lives, how they were born, all the embarrassing things that they have gone through when they were kids. Because that's a little snapshot of the person you're marrying. And that's the same thing when we come to God. You hear about God through God's Facebook page, which is the Bible. The Bible is God's Facebook page. God's history of everything He's done. And then you also have the privilege of walking with God from the day that you ask Him to come into your life as your personal Savior. So if those of you who haven't have a relationship with God, I want to encourage you that if this is you, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, just to give privacy. If this is you and you say that, yes, I want this relationship with God, I really want to know what it is to live a life that is set apart to God, set apart to the person who came down to earth to die for me and to save me. If that is you, I encourage you to raise your hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you, Lord. Now, for those of you who raised your hand, I would like to lead you through a prayer, and we can all pray together this prayer. Now, there is nothing magical in this prayer. This prayer is just a stepping stone to help you communicate with God. That's it. It's just trying to kickstart a conversation with God, to allow God to come into your life. And so, can we do that together? Can we do that together as a church? The prayer is on the screen, and we can pray it together. Together with the person who has just lifted up their hands, let's pray this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God, that You came to die on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I confess that I have sinned against You. Please forgive me of my sins. I accept You as my Lord and Savior from this moment on. Thank You for forgiving me and making me a new creation in Christ Jesus. Thank You for making me holy again in Your eyes. I ask this all in Your name. Amen. And if this is the first time you have prayed this prayer, by the authority of God's word, I can guarantee you that you are born again and that Jesus has forgiven your sins and you are holy. You are holy in Christ. And God will bring you through this journey to perfect His holiness in you. But it never changes the fact that now that you are a child of God and that you are saved by grace, and you are saved through faith by grace in Christ Jesus. And if I encourage, for those of you who raised your hands, if you can come and approach Pastor Rob, Pauline, or myself after the service, because we want to give you some resources to help you in your walk with God, and we want to pray with you and encourage you. And for those of you, if you prayed it on the live stream, please come in contact with us in church anytime in the week. Contact Pastor Rob or myself or the leadership team, and we are very, very, very happy and very excited to walk with you in this life you have in Christ. And so shall we pray as we close? Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that we are so honored, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, you gave up eternity, that You are the holy God, and that You gave up eternity to take up our humanity. You gave up Your perfection to take upon our sin, and so that we can be saved and so that we can be made whole. I pray that in during this Easter time, that You will give us a fresh revelation of what it means to live a life that is set apart for You. Lord, that You will restore us back, Lord, to the holiness that You've called us to live for. Lord, I just pray for healing. I pray, Lord, for restoration. I pray for a fresh revelation of who You are. Lord, in every heart, that at the sound of my voice, Lord, that You will reveal Yourself more to us during this Easter time. We ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you all. Happy Palm Sunday.